Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. Before we continue our study on the topic of final things, today I'd like to offer you again a very special invitation, an invitation to come and to join us at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, to come and join us in a special effort of bringing the gospel to the world. That effort will begin 3 weeks from today as Roger Schaus, a very talented speaker from the Church of Christ in New Albany, Indiana, brings before us a series of gospel sermons for our consideration. No, the book of Isaiah says to come and consider together things that are important to eternal life. Certainly, this will give us an opportunity to come and join together in consideration of those serious kinds of things. We'll begin that gospel meeting on November the 2nd and continue through November the 7th. November the 2nd is a Sunday, and we'll have one assembly that day. The assembly will be at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll study the Bible together and then sit at the feet of Brother Schaus as he brings to us a message from God's Word. Then, Lord willing, Monday night at 7 o'clock, and 7 o'clock each night through Friday of that week, we'll assemble again and study God's Word together. I hope that you can come and join us in those Bible studies, that we'll get to meet a lot of new people, and that you'll take a look at the Church of Christ that meets at Monte Vista, and you'll be impressed with our desire to study God's Word and to do all by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we're taught in Colossians 3 and verse 17. We try to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Several weeks ago, we began a series of studies on final things. We saw where Daniel Webster, a former statesman and political leader of our country, when asked by the reporter from the New York Times what was the most serious thing that he had ever considered, he said the realization of standing before God to give an answer for the things done. We've noted that our generation does not place as much emphasis on that as we did in former times, but yet the Bible teaches us that we need to be ready when judgment comes. In fact, the first thing that we considered as a final thing, those things not to be altered or undone, the first thing that we considered was, in fact, the judgment. We studied about that in preparation for meeting Jesus Christ on that great and fateful day, where we'll hear him say one of two things: "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your Lord," or "Depart from me, those of you who work iniquity, I never knew you." We followed our study on judgment by a study of the place called hell. We noted several times that the world, many of the world, do not even admit that hell is a real place. But yet the Bible has taught from the beginning of time that hell is a place that is reserved for Satan and those who follow him, and certainly a place that we must do anything to avoid in that final day. We followed our study on hell by a study of heaven, and we're involved right now in the middle of that study. Last week was our first lesson on the subject of heaven. And I want to begin this lesson where we left off. Last week, if you'll remember, we considered heaven to be a place for those who want to go there bad enough to back up that ambition with obedience to truth. We considered Hebrews, the 4th chapter and verse 9, and also in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16. We followed that point by recognizing that heaven is a place for those who want to go and come to Jesus to get there. We considered passages like Matthew the 11th chapter, verse 28 through 30, and Revelation 22 and verse 17. We noted the necessity of coming to Christ before we can get to heaven, as taught in Matthew the 7th chapter, Luke the 6th chapter, and Hebrews the 5th chapter. Also, Revelation 22 and verse 14 and Romans 6, verse 17 and 18 make that fact abundantly clear. Last week, we sort of run out of time as we were reading a text from Revelation the 2nd and 3rd chapter. The emphasis of that reading is that those who want to overcome bad enough are those who will be qualified to enter into heaven. If you would like any of the past broadcasts of Go and Teach, if you would like to bring yourself up to speed, so to speak, on the study of final things, just write to us, send us an email at www.matavistacoc.com. If you'll tell us what programs you want, we'll prepare a CD and return it to you at no cost or obligation. We'd love to have you come and visit us at Mata Vista and study with us. Let us get to know you and you check out and see if the Mata Vista Church of Christ is that one church that is identified in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. And we have a saying at Mata Vista that is not original with us, but we try very hard to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Now, so far as our study, if you have your Bible, turn with me to the 2nd chapter of the book of Revelation. This is where John the Apostle is on the Isle of Patmos being given a picture of signs and symbols of encouragement by God. And in this setting, in chapter 2, Jesus Christ is walking through the churches and he's making comments for John to record, comments about the strength and the weaknesses of the churches. And our emphasis in reading this and listening to it is on the fact that overcoming is necessary for a Christian to be successful. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, "The one who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, the one who walks among the 7 golden candlesticks, says this, I know your deeds and your toil and perseverance, and that you cannot endure evil men, that you put to test those who call themselves apostles, and they are not, and you found them to be false. And you have perseverance, and have endured for my name's sake, and have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from whence you have fallen, and repent and do the deeds that you did at first, or else I am coming to you and will remove your lampstand out of its place unless you repent. Yet this you do have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God." I want you to just stop and note now, in these first of the churches that Jesus is making comments about, the one is that is located at Ephesus, he says in verse 7, to him who has ear, let him hear. That means to pay attention to what Jesus is saying. To him who overcomes, Jesus said, I will grant the right to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Certainly, we can see clearly that Jesus expects us to overcome. Now in verse 8, and to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, the first and the last, who was dead and has come to life, says this, I know your tribulation and your poverty, but you are rich, and the blasphemy by those who say that they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, that you may be tested and you may have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. We talked about the second death, didn't we, when we were studying about the subject of hell. And here Jesus says, if we will overcome, we will not be scathed by that second death. The second death, which results in eternal damnation for those who are not living according to the plan of God, will not be a problem for those who overcome and live according to the premises brought to us by Christ. Now in verse 12, and to the angel of the church of Pergamum write, the one who has the sharp two-edged sword says this, I know where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast my name and did not, or you held fast my name and did not deny the faith, even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have some there who hold the teaching of Balaam, who keep teaching Balak to put a stumbling block before the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit acts of immorality. Thus, you also have some who in the same way hold the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent, therefore, or else I'm coming to you quickly, and I will make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Now Jesus says the same thing after this message concerning the number three church that he's dealt with, as he did the first two. Look at verse 17. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, to him I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone and a new name written on the stone, which no one knows but he who receives it. So this is the third time that we've been admonished by Christ to overcome. Now let's continue our reading in verse 18 of chapter 2. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire, and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds, and your love, and faith, and service, and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so that they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I give her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all of the churches will know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts. And I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest who are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden upon you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast till I come. Now listen to the admonition in verse 26. And he who overcomes, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter are broken into pieces, as I have also received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So now we see that there are four of the seven churches that Jesus makes comments about that have been told to overcome. And Jesus promises those who overcome great blessings, blessings of heaven. Now look, if you would, in chapter 3 as we continue our reading in the book of Revelation. And to the angel of the church of Sardis write, he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars says this, I know your deeds, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead. Wake up, and strengthen the things that remain which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard, and keep it, and repent. If, therefore, you will not wake up, I will come like a thief, and you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. But you have a few people in Sardis who have not assoiled their garments, and they will walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He who overcomes shall be thus clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now verse 7. And to the angel of the church at Philadelphia write, He who is holy, who is true, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens, says this, I know your deeds. Behold, I have put before you an open door, which no one can shut. Because you have a little power and have kept my word, and have not denied my name. Behold, I will cause those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down at your feet, and to know that I have loved you. Because you have kept the word of my perseverance, I also will keep you from the hour of testing, that hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, in order that no one take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he will not go out from it any more. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And now in verse 14, And to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, The Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God, says this, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or cold. I would that you were cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm, and neither hot or cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Because you say I am rich, and have become wealthy, and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I advise you to buy from me gold refined by fire, that you may become rich, and white garments, that you may clothe yourself, and that you may be the shame of your nakedness, and it may not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes, that you may see. Those whom I love I reprove and discipline. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him, and I will dine with him, and he with me. He who overcomes, I will grant to him to sit down with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sit down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Certainly, the reading of chapter 2 and 3 of the book of Revelation emphasizes in our mind the necessity to pay attention to what God has to say. And with that attention paid to what God has to say, to muster up the courage and the strength within our person to overcome the temptations of the evil one, to overcome when we are tired, to keep on keeping on, to do the things that Christ set before us as he lived and taught upon the face of the earth and then died upon that old rugged cross to provide for us a way to be in heaven, to sit on the throne with Jesus Christ throughout all to come, throughout all eternity, and be rewarded for that overcoming. You know, heaven and hell are realms of opposites and realms of contrast. I'd like to look at some of those contrasts with you as our time draws to a close today. If you'll remember, our study of heaven is the home of God. It's the home of Jesus. It's the home of the Holy Spirit. Angels of obedience and the redeemed of all eras of time will find their home in the place called heaven. That's taught so very clearly in Revelation 21 and verse 3. Also in Revelation 22, verse 3 and 4. In Revelation 7, verse 15 through 17. And Revelation 1 and verse 4. We read of that truth in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, verse 2 and 3, and again in verse 24. The sixth verse of the short book of Jude teaches us that truth. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, we read of the truth that the home of God is heaven. In Matthew 8 and verse 11 and Hebrews 4 and verse 9, we see the same truth recorded. And finally, in Matthew 25, verse 21, and then in verses 34 through 40, we see that heaven is the home of all that which is good, and nothing there is evil. That contrasts with hell. Hell is the home of Satan. Hell is the home of all wicked angels and those who are damned from all eras of time. That is made abundantly clear in Revelation 14, verse 9 through 11, Revelation 19, verse 19 through 21, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 through 9, Matthew 25, verse 41 through 46, Galatians 5, verse 19 through 21, and 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 and 10. So there we see the first contrast that I wanted to bring before our minds of heaven and hell. Heaven is the home of God. Hell is the home of Satan. Heaven is the home of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. So then we see that heaven is the home of the Godhead, while hell is the home of Satan and all of the wicked angels. Heaven is the home of the obedient and the redeemed of all eras of time, and hell is the place for those who disregarded the message of God, who lived according to their own desires, who lived according to the precepts of men, and find themselves lost and separated from God, suffering in that place of terrible torment and fire throughout all eternity. It goes without saying, doesn't it, that our objective, that our entire focus in life should be on obtaining that upper and better home when we leave this earth. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of the things that we need will be added to us. I'd like for you to consider one more passage as we close our lesson today, and then we'll consider some more opposites and contrasts next week between heaven and hell. Jesus said in John 14, verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's the objective of those Christians who meet at the Church of Christ located at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. That's the objective of those who meet there. We would like for you to come and to study the Bible with us, the message of life, the set of precepts and rules and requirements that the inspired writers of the first century brought to us from God via the Holy Spirit, not words of men, but words that are inspired of God, words that we can count on, words of salvation. Well, like the invitation that I gave you at the outset of our broadcast, I hope that you can come and visit with us during our revival meeting, during our gospel meeting, which starts on November the 2nd. Come and consider the things that we study under the leadership of Brother Roger Shoust from New Albany, Indiana, as we open the Bible and do obtain the information that leads to life and not to death. My prayer for you this week is that you have extra opportunity to let a bright light shine for Jesus Christ, and that you grab that opportunity and let that light shine into a world that needs Jesus so bad. Thank you for listening. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.